This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
To the Carol Cox Show. This is another special edition, and I want to thank Tina Quizon for allowing me. She was agreeable that this was a subject that popped up, and she wanted us to get it out to the public. And she will be, as she promised, will be back next week, same time, and to share with you the what she learned and worked with there in South Korea. So again, thank you, Tina, for allowing us to do this. And today, this is going to be a subject on the OSPCA, the Oahu SPCA, Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And I have with me Ms. Jennifer Kishimori, and co-founder, president of it, of the OSPCA, and Michael Ostendorf, attorney for Mr. Norman Payne. And we're going to try and share with you. I asked Jennifer to come in and give us a first-hand, unfiltered explanation as to what's going on. And I've reached out for the other side, but they apparently, I was there filming one day, and they sent someone out to identify who I was filming. So instead of saying, we'd like to come on your show, I gave them a card and no response on another occasion. So anyway, Jennifer, thank you, and I appreciate you coming and sharing with the public, because there's some new developments, and they sound serious with the OSPCA, and I hope that you can be as open and as straightforward and let us know. And again, to the other people that is involved in this, we won't say on the other side of the issue, you're welcome to call in, and we'll have a show if you are interested. That is my invitation to all of you that are currently on the board. Thank you.
Well, the new development, I was recently terminated from the Oahu SPCA, which is the organization that I founded. And this was without warning. I was terminated. They gave me two explanations. One was that I froze the bank account, and the other was that I would not turn over my personal phones to them. So to backtrack a little, I've been questioning the financial transparency for many months now, and I have not been privy to any of our ledgers, any of our donors, what has been going on financially, nor has our treasurer actually been given any of that information. And right there is a red flag. Something's going on. I've been charging everything on my charge card, from vet visits to pet food supplies, everything to keep the organization running, and I haven't been reimbursed. And the more I would question the financial status of our organization than the more distant the current president became.
Mm-hmm. So you say you froze the bank account, but when did this came on the heels of the discussion that you were no longer a member of. Can you tell us how that, wasn't there agreement or something?
There was an agreement that I had quit my full-time job as a producer, television producer, and the agreement with Stephanie Ryan and the other board members would be that they would change the bylaws so I could be working and getting paid at the same time, because I'm there, you know, 10, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. So the point was I wanted to try and, you know, be able to stay there. It's less than a third of what I used to make, but it was important to me to take care of the animals.
Mm-hmm. So you're the co-founder, mm-hmm. and who is now at the helm of this, and how many people in the board? Did that change since you leaving, or...
The board member, Stephanie Ryan is now the current president, and she's the one that had agreed that she would have her attorney work on changing the bylaws so I could get paid. So she had a month to do that, and then 3 months later, I've been getting a paycheck, and all of a sudden she says, "Oh, the attorney told me you can't be paid." And so immediately I said, "Well, let me return the funds then. You didn't tell me this. It's been 3 months I've been getting paid."
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, "Let me return the funds." And she says, "Well, that's awful sneaky of you, isn't it?" But she's mm-hmm. the one that's been signing my paycheck this whole time. And all mm-hmm. of a sudden now she says that I shouldn't have been paid.
And you co-founded with her and others? Or?
Yes. So there was Alicia Malua Fiti, mm-hmm. myself, mm-hmm. and Stephanie Ryan.
And so she now ends up with the organization in total, with the board?
Yes. And actually, since my termination, two other board members have resigned. There was another two staff have also left.
Mm-hmm. 524-1080 is the call number for questions or comments to Jennifer regarding the OSPCA and current activities. What do you attribute these actions? Obviously, it's just more than you're concerned with the transparency, because...
Absolutely. The most important thing is to be transparent to your donors. Where's your money going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to see, you know, what we're getting in, what we're using the money towards. And right now, I'm owed more than $30,000 in vet bills and supplies and so forth that I keep fronting, and I haven't seen a dime.
Now, you mentioned... your charge card. You mean your personal charge
My
card.
My personal charge
card,
yes.
So you're owed, you're saying... 30-some thousand?
Correct, yes. And every time I've been, you know, I submitted receipts, there were, you know, she agreed to, you know, to reimburse, and I still haven't been paid, and that's,
mm-hmm.
you know,
and
ongoing.
And you froze that account because you weren't getting any accounting from them, and
right.
you've made numerous requests, you said.
Right, numerous requests, as has the, you know, previous secretary and treasurer. And so the person mm-hmm. now is, you know, Stephanie has not given any information, so I said, I'm going to freeze the bank account so you guys cannot take anything out until mm-hmm. we resolve this. I don't know what she's using the money towards.
Mm-hmm. Now, the you suspect there's other things that contribute to this, that you attribute to this climate, that is, and what are they? Do you think, and you've expressed concern, that possibly the Norman Payne incident has something to do with some influence?
It's possible. Recently, Stephanie called me, and she told me to please call Norman Pang and ask him to drop the case. And this she said just about less than a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, why would I do that? I have that, you know, that's his case. I have nothing to, you mm-hmm. know, be a part of that. So I don't know why she would personally ask me to call Norman, because I am closer to Norman than she is,
mm-hmm.
but call and ask him to drop the case against the Hawaiian Humane Society and HSUS.
Mike, what does that mean? And in attorney language now, I have a law enforcement background. What does that mean when someone called you up and say, let's approach a person who has a federal lawsuit and that he's filed, and someone suggests to Jennifer to call him up and tell him to drop it? How do you describe that, and what label do you put on it?
I think that would be obstruction of justice. It's just that simple. You know, mm-hmm. Who knows who else they talk to? Maybe there's some witness tampering when it comes to other witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
I think the influence of the Hawaii Humane Society is just right there. Just look at the timeline. April 2009, OSPCA became a nonprofit, a 501c3. In July, Barney Pang passed away. Within 3 days, Norman asked Jennifer for help because his wife did not want the Hawaii Humane Society based upon the history on the premises. They met, she asked the Humane Society of the United States for help because it was too big of a job. And she asked the Humane Society of the U.S. not to get the Hawaii Humane Society involved.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do? They had a secret meeting. The purpose of the meeting was to build a case. Scotland Hazley, one of the defendants, even stated to Jennifer when he got out to the property that there is no case. Those were even his words while he was filming and pretending that there is a case so he can use the footage for fundraising. But when he left the property, he still said there is no case.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately afterwards, Jennifer was banned as far as... I mean, Jennifer, you tell them. I mean, mm-hmm. It's my understanding you were banned from the Hawaii Humane Society's grounds.
I've been using the feral cat program with the Hawaii Humane Society for a dozen years.
Mm-hmm.
And after that incident, I was banned from using their services.
Mm-hmm. And so I recall, and we spoke about it on the show here before, it was an instance where the Humane Society president had wanted to gain access to your facility to film and document the conditions of the animals or whatever to get more information and evidence on Norman Pang. And you did what?
I said, no, I'm sorry. That the animals were in my care and
mm-hmm.
they would be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Based on, you know, showing pictures, we don't know what animals had just arrived that
mm-hmm.
day from Bonnie Pang or, you know, had been in her shelter for weeks or months. I had no idea. So it's not really... They can take pictures, but it didn't really prove anything.
Right. It would have been confusing anyway if I was to receive a request like that, because Scotland Hazley has already told you there was no violations, no crime, no committed.
Exactly.
And then now you get a phone call, but not knowing that there was a surreptitious meeting, I guess, with the Humane Society, where he had actually given an affidavit speaking to that there were.
Correct.
Criminal violation.
It was very confusing.
Yeah, and so being that you didn't allow her to come in,
mm-hmm.
grant them permission, then on the heels of that, immediately after that, you were denied the right to continue what you...
I've been doing for 10 years, exactly.
And that's something that everybody else can do.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can go and trap a feral cat and bring it to the Hawaii Humane Society, and they will help them.
Right.
So she's being singled out over thousands of other people who
mm-hmm.
do the same thing. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Just ask yourself why.
Mm-hmm.
Because she won't do their bidding.
Well, one of the things that grabs me wrong here is that while... One, you know, you post a sign, we reserve the right to serve whom we wish. But here's the problem. They are situated on city land, so you can't discriminate, or shouldn't be. But unfortunately, our city officials, for example, has ignored Animal Rights Advocates, Advocate Inc., right?
Mm-hmm.
Animal Advocate Inc., I'm sorry, I'm just... Pam Davis actually wrote and requested them to do an investigation on this discriminatory practice on your behalf. And city officials under Mufi Hanneman and others have just simply ignored it. Even the city councilman, every single councilman, have flat out ignored it, even though it's situated on city land. Speaking of Pam, Pam, good morning. You got a question or comment? Pam Davis?
Oh, yes.
I'm guessing this is Pam Davis.
Hi, Carol.
Yes.
Hi, Jennifer and Mike. I did want to talk about just what you brought up, that I had filed a formal complaint with the city, Mufi Hanneman, the Department of Customer Services, and the City Council, because I believe in that all citizens should be very concerned about the denial by the Hawaiian Humane Society of services to Jennifer Kishimori. These are services which are funded by us, the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
And these services should be available to everyone. And it's very concerning to me when people are denied, and especially when their reasons for being denied are so dubious, as Mike Ostendorf has alluded to.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, as I've said earlier, bothers me is that, and it's troubling, is that it is a building on, the land is owned by the city. The building was built by Humane Society, but the land is owned, and they get it for $1 for 99 years or something. Don't quote me. But it's still city land, so therefore, they should not be able to discriminate if they have a difference. But also, because you wouldn't allow them. Now, we can't say that is exactly the case, but clearly, as I've reported before, that came on the heels of you denying them. But what else... In this situation, I understand through the lawsuit and what have you, and other instances, bringing the public up and the listeners, they came on with fake badges, the Humane Society of the United States. And did you ever see the badges yourself there when they were walking around?
Yes.
So they were wearing fake badges with no law enforcement. But what happened? The... what really goes on is that after the lawsuit is filed,
mm-hmm.
Mike, what did, and you informed me that you had received a letter from...
I received a letter from the attorney representing HSUS, and mm-hmm. it said that because we had signed an indemnity agreement, that we were responsible for their legal fees and legal
mm-hmm.
charges,
mm-hmm.
which... You know, we brought them in to say, here, please help us rescue these animals. We didn't say, come in and do these activities that are illegal, wearing
mm-hmm.
fake badges and such. So
mm-hmm.
that is not, you know, if I hire someone to come in and they end up robbing a bank, I'm not responsible for their
mm-hmm.
legal charges.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why they were asking me to reimburse them for their legal fees.
Mm-hmm. I must apologize. I had a glitch there with and Pam. Apologize if we cut you off abruptly there. But anyway... this is troubling, Mike.
Well, what's really troubling is is that Scott and Haisley has engaged in the same behavior before
mm-hmm.
on the mainland. He has been asked by state agencies or law enforcement agencies in separate states, excuse me, never to return for an animal rescue, because what he did over there, he broke the law.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, there's one case where he went in. In order to do an investigation on a puppy mill, he never found the puppy mill, but there was another Hispanic person in the neighborhood who was a legitimate dog breeder.
Mm-hmm.
However, that person's English was a second language to him, so he didn't speak English too well. So Scotland Haisley used that opportunity to bully and threaten this man with deportation unless he will sign his business, his animals over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instances like this, actually, he resigned since then from the Hawaii Humane Society. From the Humane Society of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he resigned in lieu of termination, but however, he's not there anymore, and it is former colleagues of his that call in and tell me about what he used to do. Like for instance, Katrina, he goes down there with two boats to rescue dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So what he does is he goes in one boat. And as the camera crew in the second boat, he makes some footage of himself so that he looks good, so he can use it to get donations, and then he immediately takes off thereafter. He doesn't even care about rescuing any animals. He rescued one dog to get the footage, and that's the same thing he did with the Norman Pang property.
Mm-hmm.
He went out there, he found the one dog that was had been just tossed over the fence not too long ago at some ranch, and then he shot some footage, and then he made these terrible accusations about Norman that weren't true.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Hawaii Humane Society even put him on their webpage and in their newsletter in order to get donations, accusing this man basically of murder
mm-hmm.
when there was no proof.
Mm-hmm. Well, the witnesses, what I would like to do is shape this as a warning to other nonprofits and thinking of you invited the Humane Society of the United States to assist you in housing and caring for these animals that were being released to you. No problem. The problem is that the HSUS, they have a person here, Inga Gibson, who was there at that facility. And I want to take this occasion to alert every single nonprofit. As Stephanie had told me, she refused to give me the pitches for some extended period of time, but she was supposed to be helping Norman Payne. And she explained to me, personally, directly, that she wanted to have a good relationship with Inga Gibson. And I'm still puzzled by that when I'm explaining to Stephanie that, listen, they use fake badges to gain access. They surreptitiously taped and recorded this gentleman. She wasn't moved by that and insisted on withholding the pictures. As you know, I had to keep badgering you to ask her to get the pictures, even after promising for a month or so. Mm-hmm. She finally got them to me. I don't know if I ever got what really exists. But here's the problem. Suppose another normal nonprofit organization in the state of Hawaii brings the Humane Society of the United States through Inga Gibson or anyone and asks for their assistance. And in turn, they get sued. That nonprofit organization better be careful, because they sign a waiver of liability, freeing them of liability, right?
Correct.
Which you did. And now you're looking down the gun barrel of a lawsuit from the HHS's lawyer, correct?
The HSUS.
Yes, HSUS is mm-hmm. a lawyer. They wrote you, and if you could, I'd like to get a copy of that letter and post it on the website and show the nonprofits that a lot of them are really kissy-kissy with the HSUS, and they don't understand the ramifications and the consequences that this letter speaks for itself in saying, innocently, you invited us, but if we become sued and embroiled in a lawsuit, you potentially, nonprofit, little nonprofit, can be sued by our attorneys. And in this instance, they wore fake badges. So how can you be expected to indemnify them or clear them of any wrongdoings or being held accountable by law enforcement officials?
You can't. Yeah, so I just caution everybody that as a nonprofit, especially we're a small, newly formed organization, you know, we got into this innocently, and then we had, you know, them do these activities that we didn't authorize.
Now, I don't want to sound like we're scattered here, because there is a purpose of this. We're interchanging these tidbits because they are related. We can't dismiss, we can theorize, but we can draw conclusion on what we do know. And the fact is, we do know that Inga Gibson and Scotland Haseley met with the Humane Society of Hawaiian Humane Society. We do know that they wore fake badges, not having any law enforcement authority, the HSUS's people. We do know that. We do know that you were kicked out of the Hawaiian Humane Society's facilities. We do know that, that you've been approached and said, let's call Norman Payne and tell him to drop his case. We do know those things, and we do know that you now have a lawyer from the HSUS representing them, looking down their gun barrel, telling you will be responsible for. And so,
well, she also was terminated.
Yeah, and then you were terminated, and then you're owed money. So, but there's money in the account, but she didn't pay. Now, here's one of the things I really applaud you, because a lot of people say, well, I don't want to speak up, because if I speak up, it's going to ruin my chances of getting donations or running an organization. And you're saying, no, the buck stops here. Time to get off of this pony. It's kicking and bucking.
Well, it's been months and months. I've been asking for our ledgers, our accounting, and nothing's happened. So out of responsibility to the donors, we need to be transparent. Transparency is critical.
And
right now, I mean, that's why I said I'm going to freeze a bank account. Nobody can touch that account. I can't get anything. Nobody can, because I don't know where this money's going.
And because you owe it to your donors. And there's legal issues, too. You have to account for that for your nonprofit.
As a nonprofit, you absolutely have to be transparent.
And so
I think the AG's office should take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it should be an investigation into it, because what happens here? With this, there's another issue, and we'll talk about them. PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
On your website, the OSPCA, people can donate through PayPal, correct?
Correct.
Now, have you seen or been provided any record or ledger?
Not since day one, not since July. I've never seen the PayPal donations, nor has the treasurer, the one that just left, nor has the secretary that just left.
Mm-hmm.
We've asked repeatedly, and we haven't seen anything. Stephanie recently changed the P.O. box lock without our notice, without notifying us. So we don't know what donations are coming in. So even the treasurer's not wasn't able to access any of the checks coming in. So we don't know what's there. What's, you know, is she holding on to them? What's happening?
Now, I don't want to portray Stephanie or speak ill of anyone and impugn their integrity. But what I will ask you is that, have you, to your knowledge, have anyone ever told you that there's money coming in through PayPal?
Absolutely. I had one of my girlfriends donated $1,000. I never was told that.
I see. So you...
That was a personal friend of mine. Said she put PayPal, she donated $1,000, and I wasn't notified.
And prior to the mailbox being locked you out to change the key...
She locked out the treasurer, everybody.
Did you, though, do you know that if there were ever checks or money sent through donations to that organization, to that mailbox?
I didn't check the mailbox. I've only checked it a couple of times.
Did you ever receive a donation, a fine, a donation in the mailbox?
The couple times I checked, yes.
Okay, so in other words, they lock you out, so you don't know if there was any more donations coming through, but you do know donations did come through the mailbox.
Absolutely.
So now you're locked out of that and you can't.
And also the treasurer was locked out.
So how do they handle that, Mike? You being an attorney, how do you address that?
Well, I have no idea how much money came in, but I do know one thing, that Jennifer's owed more than $30,000 into day-to-day operations. I'm not too sure what the amount is, but, you know, she was always paying. The moment she asked for an accounting, her trouble started. Just ask yourself, just go through the timeline. You know, just, is there a coincidence or is there a purpose behind this?
Yeah.
So when she asks the question, where's the money? You know, reimburse me for the $30,000 that I'm owed, all of a sudden she's out on the street. You know, they took her domain name, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way this, and it's my understanding that Jennifer's the one that wrote the application for the 501c3. And what happens quite often is, and Alicia did, you know, you use your own phone, you use your own car, your own computer, you use your credit card to get it all started, and then it's never really transferred over. So, for this entire time period, to continue using her credit cards, her phones. You know, like for instance, I always use this analogy. She always used her car for rescues, too. Does that now mean her car belongs to the OSPCA?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my understanding that when they started freezing her out, that they went into her desk, took her personal belongings, including credit card information. And the reason that's critical is because when it was time to steal the domain name away from Jennifer, they didn't have the passwords. And the only other way they could get access to GoDaddy is by telling them or impersonating Jennifer, pretending to be Jennifer, and use the credit card information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they changed now that domain name over. And the owner now is Stephanie Ryan.
Mm-hmm. And I never authorized use of my credit card or changing the domain name.
So it's not the OSPCA now that owns the domain name. It's Stephanie Ryan who has her name on it. So, I mean, you know, maybe someone else stole Jennifer's domain name and put Stephanie's name on without Stephanie knowing about it. But I think the chance of that is slim to none and slim left town. I'm sorry.
So, with this situation, the domain name purposely taken, someone took it.
Yes.
And you didn't call up and change it. And did they notify you? That's the other question I have. Did they notify you of any of these changes?
No, I got an email from GoDaddy saying that you have successfully released your domain name. I called them saying, what's going on? That's not, you know, I didn't release it. And then they explained somebody used my credit card number to change it.
And your identity.
And they used they impersonated me, say, I'm Jennifer, and I want to change the domain name to Stephanie Ryan, and here's the credit card.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't charge anything on my credit card, but they used that
to authenticate.
Correct.
Yeah.
Let me digress a bit here on one point. because it's just so illogical, and especially when we're dealing with adults. I expect a lot, and what that lot is, I like to look at things simple, not in a child's way. Why did you break the window? Because Mikey made me do it. I don't subscribe to that. The agreement now, and you correct me or set it right, the agreement was that you would step down. What was your position when you stepped down?
President.
Of the OSPCA.
Of the OSPCA.
And you were a board member.
I was president.
But and a board member.
Right, correct.
Okay. And so if you were a board member and president, and the agreement was that they would hire you, so you quit your job, your personal job, which is a filmmaker, right?
Correct. I'm a producer for films.
Producer for films, and not like Carol Cox, at just a little level. You were the, what
I aspired to,
commercials. And so you gave that up so that you can work with the animals. And so you gave up the position with the agreement that they would change the bylaws of the organization.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie said she would have her attorney amend the bylaws so I could be compensated.
Okay. So you were compensated, were paid?
Starting in January 3rd was the first day.
So they paid you more than one occasion?
Yes.
Okay.
Multiple times. Stephanie signed my checks.
Okay. So that was the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were notified later, month, 2 months?
Actually, 3 months.
Okay, three months.
Then
three
I was
months.
Told that, oh, the bylaws had never been amended and you're receiving funds illegally.
So they tell you the bylaws weren't amended, but she told you as part of this deal they would amend it.
Correct.
And then which would permit, because there was a debate or discussion that a board member or president couldn't work for the and be paid.
Correct.
So to not get around that, but to make it legal and be consistent with law, that's what you agreed to.
Right.
So,
and I was under the impression they had been changed, also the treasurer and the secretary. All of us were under the impression that the bylaws had been amended so I could get payment.
But it doesn't matter whether you understood or you. This is what the agreement was, correct?
Absolutely.
That's what you engage in. So then they notify you that that wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
So then instead of restoring, after notifying you that the bylaws couldn't change, did they ever give you an opportunity to say, well, would you like to regain your position becomes as president? Would you like to restore your original?
None of that was offered, no.
So, Mike, this appears that this was an orchestrated, because as I said earlier, children, I believe in looking at things simple. If we make an agreement and you don't keep up your end of the bargain, then I think we should go back to square one to eliminate problems, because we all love animals and we all are doing for the sake of the animals and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality,
it might
I'll
have not have been illegal what she did, but it is unethical.
Well,
she broke her word.
Yeah.
This is what Stephanie does. Like, for instance, last week we were in mediation. Artie Kimura, a local entertainer, wanted to assist in the mediation,
mm-hmm.
and he did a fabulous job. We finally reached an agreement, and I believe it was Thursday around lunchtime, and so we thought things had been taken care of. Come 6 o'clock, come dinner time, Stephanie Ryan changed her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And basically Artie in the end said, you know what, I give up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do this. This is an untenable position. You know, I mean, he really tried his best, but if someone just, like you said, like the kids, if they just don't want to cooperate.
Right. And this is because...
And I didn't want to bring this out into the media. I was trying to, you know, protect the animals, protect the organization, which I worked years and years to found. But this has come to a point where, okay, there's no compromising. I don't want the animals to be neglected. I don't know where these funds are going. I had to speak up.
Yeah, again, and not just to say, to be fair, I've extended an invite to Stephanie and the board members that are currently on the board to speak their piece. They can call in now, 524-1080, or call me or send me an email at carol@carolcox.com, carolcox.com. And if you want to come on the show and talk openly about it, I welcome you. So anyway, the bigger issue then is, and again, I applaud you for coming forward, because there are people unsuspectingly donating money and not knowing. And, you know, basically they could associate your name with failure, but you didn't care about that. You just decided to come out and protect and be transparent to let them know what is going on. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, transparency is key in a nonprofit. And if they're going to be hiding where the funds are, and specifically Stephanie Ryan is not sharing those books with any of us. I don't believe any board member even existing today has seen the books.
Mm-hmm. So here's why. There was a new board, and some of them, some people could be naive, and some very adamant that I spoke with when I went to that meeting. And, I won't go into details, but I was appalled at the reception when, in fact, but it was consistent with what I had received from Stephanie in the initial stages. But what I would say is that with the public, just to give them an insight, you're not only with the OSPCA, you do other things like last night. You're looking a little tired. I mean, what did you do yesterday?
I sterilize cats. We have a vet, Dr. Hatt, that assists us to sterilize feral cats around the island, and we fixed. Yesterday was actually a small clinic. It was about 60 that we fixed. Mm-hmm. Usually we do about 75 to 125 cats at each clinic, and we do multiple clinics every month.
And this is through donations?
This is through donations.
Of service and monies?
Correct. We're all volunteering, and the people pay the vet directly a minimal amount to get these feral cats sterilized.
So 75. How many did you do yesterday?
Yesterday was only about 60. It was a smaller one. We actually had to pare it back because we were kicked out of the Oahu SPCA shelter where we normally have been doing the clinics. Mm-hmm. And so we had to scramble, find a new location. It went very, very well, however.
I will be posting a few pictures on website at carolcox.com, and you can see you went over and took most of the equipment that you own because...
Correct.
And that was the police. Someone called the police, and you... How did you feel? I'm just watching it.
I felt like a criminal here. I was the one that was here asking for, can I see the financial statements and so forth, and then I received a termination notice. I had to be out in, just over 24 hours, less than 48 hours, and so I had to get my cat friend's belongings that I had donated, for use, temporary use at the Oahu SPCA.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm taking my own belongings, and I'm being questioned on everything that I'm taking.
Well, I think that the listeners out there, you're really brave because not only are you, some people go, I'm just not going to say anything because it'll ruin my effort, my spay-neuter program of cats.
Right.
And you're saying, no, the buck stops here.
I'm still going to do what my mission is, and that's to sterilize as many dogs and cats as possible.
Because if you didn't, the state isn't doing it.
Right.
And 60 cats, for example, right now is time mating season.
Yes,
is it?
It's
and
kitten
so
season right
kitten
now.
Season. So how many cats is that exponentially?
Oh, I don't even know. Thousands.
Right.
Thousands.
And so people are sending money and thinking that they're helping you, and you don't even know where the money's going or who's accounting for it. But anyway, Sandra Hayes, you got a comment? Good morning.
Oh, hi. Yes, I was on the board with Jennifer from the beginning, in November, and I also resigned after the action was taken to Jennifer. I resigned immediately, as did our treasurer, Kim Fong.
And Kim, I don't want you speaking for Kim, but did Kim ever have access to the records or?
No, we didn't. We had asked for them repeatedly, and Jennifer had, and we never saw anything.
So the treasurer, the claim is the treasurer of the organization was never provided the records by Stephanie?
No.
Okay. Well, Stephanie, I'm sure you're listening. Please don't hesitate to call in because there's some very strong allegations, and I want to give you fair access and open mic to respond. So I just can't imagine anyone would lend themselves because you want to be on the up and up, but it sounds like there's more to it. There's someone in the background orchestrating this because I can't believe that a person would lend themselves to this as an individual and think that they could stay on this island and operate as the OSPCA. I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm not going to try and impugn her integrity or say bad things about her personally, but common sense would tell you if there's allegations, stand up and say they're false or respond to them, but don't just become an ostrich.
We don't understand it. We don't understand why she's hiding this information that should be transparent. And all of us that she wasn't at the shelter on the day-to-day operations. Her role was to do fundraising, and we never saw what funds were raised. But in terms of the day-to-day operation, you know, Sandy was there every day medicating and helping. I was, you know, there, and we had fabulous people working there. A lady by the name of Michelle worked her tail off. Use the expression, but she was integral to getting those animals in good shape. And then a gal named Kelly, she resigned also. She was there 24/7 practically. Any animal that was sickly, she'd spend the night. We spent countless nights there, you know, giving fluids to animals that needed them. We'd be trapping dogs that are needing to be rescued at 2 in the morning. I mean, all of us were working very, very hard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good morning. I got another call. Josephine, you have comment? Hello?
I wanted to ask two things. What happened to... What is the status of the original Norman Pang animals that were signed over? Were they signed over to Jennifer or to the OSPCA? And secondly, I wanted to know what's the status of the animals now. How many are at that shelter? And I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you.
The animals were turned over to the Wahoo SPCA, and we still have maybe 10 of the dogs remaining there, and we have a good portion of the cats still there as well. And after my departure, people have given me reports of, you know, the cleanliness being unsatisfactory and so forth, but that was the first couple days after my departure. And many of the volunteers refused to go back to help, so they do have new volunteers coming in now trying to fill the void. But I'm very concerned. I would like to have those animals in my care right now.
Mm-hmm. So what do we do? Where do we go from here? What are your plans, Mike, you with Pang's situation and Jennifer's?
Well, Norman Pang is in federal court. When it comes to Jennifer, I mean, she relied on their promise on that she would be employed. I mean, she quit a very lucrative business, and she's out of money. She's money owed. They're not even disputing that. And, you know, what are they going to do to her in form of compensation? I mean, obviously there's a rift and she's going to move on her own.
Mm-hmm.
There's a question of who owns what when it comes to the phones and the name. But, you know, besides that, she quit her job. She's out on the street because she trusted some board member, one of the co-founders, who, I like to point out, has never really participated in the day-to-day operations of the facility.
Mm-hmm.
She, as far as I know, Stephanie's not down there cleaning the cages. She's not down there holding the cats.
Mm-hmm.
She's just there for photo opportunities and I guess to collect money through PayPal and the P.O. boxes.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm not too sure where Jennifer's position will be in the future.
I mean, I want to continue to care for animals. I want to, I mean, it's debatable whether I have the name Oahu SPCA now or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I want to help continue to help animals. We need to sterilize. And, you know, I'm sorry, now the name Oahu SPCA is getting tainted, but,
right.
You know.
Well, I want to share with the public and the listeners out there so they don't think that we're trying to orchestrate some favorite position here. But in my attempts to get, we went to a meeting that you invited us, what was it, about 2 weeks ago?
About then.
You invited myself and Pam Davis there to
record.
Because
in previous board meetings, everything seems to change. The minutes did not reflect what actually transpired during the board meeting. So I asked you to record. So we had an accurate documentation of what transpired.
And allowing us to eventually come on air with this and giving them the opportunity to state their position. But instead of coming forward and sharing with us. They left the meeting, but subsequent to that, one of the board members, who was a new board member, wrote that it is my opinion that involvement with Carol Cox and Pam Davis could negatively affect the Oahu SPCA organization. I was shocked to see Carol Cox and Pam Davis at the board meeting. It appeared to me that Jennifer had invited them. Do you know who they are? I imagine you probably don't. Well, I do, and so does Jennifer. This is the mindset when you're reaching out for the truth, and that we sought and attempted to get. So being balanced and giving everybody an opportunity, this is what we were received with. And this email was sent out to all parties.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're still waiting for answers, and clearly that email didn't discourage us. And I thank you for coming forward and filling an obligation to the public, the donors out there, because mm-hmm. there are people that can't get involved, but they figure they can help financially.
Right, they might physically not be able to volunteer, but they want to give financially to help the animals.
Right, and they deserve an accounting of the funds and should be apprised of what is occurring. So this is an attempt,
mm-hmm.
and I appreciate you coming in and sharing with us. There's another caller. Michelle, are you there?
Yes, hi, Carol. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, getting comments or insight on this?
Yes, actually, at the time that Jennifer had been terminated at the OSPCA, I myself was also terminated along with her.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I'm very concerned with the welfare of the animals. A lot of the major workers that were there taking care of the animals are now no longer there. And those who were left behind are put in position to care for the animals are not the ones who actually took care of them or spent any time at the shelter. So now I'm concerned with what are the conditions that they're living in now.
Mm-hmm. So what are the conditions? Is there anybody reporting or checking? Or?
Well, Michelle and I are both banned from property, so there's no way for us to even go down to help and, you know, assess the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Even as volunteers, if we want to go back to volunteer, we're not allowed on property.
To you folks' knowledge, did they have anyone that had experience in handling of cats? In substantial handling, with great
knowledge.
Well,
there's a lady there that volunteered probably 7 hours every day, 6 days a week, by the name of Jean, and she's now banned from property, and she was our main cat caretaker.
Mm-hmm. So did they try to separate the two by saying you could take care of the cats and we'll take care of the dogs, or did they try to split anything?
Not that they proposed to me.
Mm-hmm. So did they try to work out anything other than calling the police and telling them that you need to get your property off of, or whatever? How did that work? What transpired?
Well, actually, it was a little bit more mean than that, because I recall that when they banned her from the property, they told her to get lost and not to come back. Basically, she would be trespassing, and all the other volunteers, too. But then the same day, then they go and beg in the name of the animals. It's all for the animals. Go, forego your $30,000. Let's not talk about it. Give us the phones. Give us everything. Basically, give us everything you ever had and owned yourself, mm-hmm. her own personal property, because it's all for the animals. So they just wanted her to forego everything. And it was very tough on Jennifer for her to hold her ground, because the first 3-4 days, she was just torn. I mean, just emotionally torn, because she actually went back, I believe, to help them, to volunteer again. But, you know, I told her, you can't, because they're just taking advantage. I mean, why not just give them your car now, give them your house, give them your life, give them everything?
Yeah, you gave up the job.
Right, she already gave up a job before she started working there. From April, July, May, she was there 24/7, basically. Mm-hmm. That's the description. So they just like to take, but not to give.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my understanding that the current board never participates in the actual taking care of the animals. They're only involved in the money portion.
There is one, I think, Linda Venata. I see her there working.
She does work. She's a volunteer. She's mm-hmm. been a volunteer, mm-hmm. and she works on the dog side, yes.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, this is just...
But
I don't
one
know.
Of the board members has never even set foot on property.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's puzzling. And will you keep us posted as to what is going on?
Absolutely.
Would you say that you encourage people to continue to donate, or would you offer caution? What would you say?
I'd offer caution right now until the records are out in the open. You know, it depends on what the AG office does, AG's office does.
And that's specifically the caution is to do what?
To see where the money's being spent rather than spending, you know, we have a disagreement. Instead of amputating a dog's leg, Stephanie will spend $3,000 to get it pinned and where it risks infection. Even the doctors don't recommend it. She'll do that, and we could have fed our dogs for a year, mm-hmm. and rather than amputate the dog's leg, and they'll recover automatically.
But the lack of transparency
lack
is the
of
most
transparency.
The driving force behind mm-hmm. this effort, because I don't want to get in debating what they should, but it's the real issue here is transparency and lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Mike, real quick, we're going to...
Well, I believe criminal charges have been filed already about the identity theft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for someone to do this identity theft, to use their credit card, I mean, what else are they capable of?
Right.
You just got to ask yourself, how far are they willing to go?
Yeah. Well, I would say that use caution in your donations, and you still have cat friends. And you,
cat friends, we're still going to continue with our
and you're transparent
screening.
With your records and
absolutely.
Reports.
Absolutely.
Okay, so how do they get in touch with cat friends real quick?
Cat friends, hicatfriends.org is our website.
H-I?
Catfriends.org.
Okay.
And
the phone number?
Phone number, 226-4561.
Okay, well, Jennifer Kishimura, thank you. And again, out there, I invite the other side, if there's such a thing, to call in, or we'll have a show with you, or what have you. And Mike, thank you. Mike Lossendorf and Jennifer Kishimura, thank you again. Aloha.
Aloha.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.